Have you looked around lately? The brokenness, the division, the hate. After a while, it begins to take a toll. We begin to view people differently. Servanthood gives way to skepticism. Faith transforms into fear. Love begins to languish under the weight of uncertainty. It's easy to become who we were never meant to be. Cynical, angry, lost. In moments like this, we're reminded of the lasting meaning of Christmas. A savior given to bear the weight of our sin, to mend our brokenness, to make whole our divisions. The love of God on full display, bringing light to the darkness, giving hope to the hopeless. This Christmas, in the midst of these difficult times, may we all remember just how desperately we still need a Savior.
True today, no matter what's going on in the world, we still need a Savior. We welcome you to Skyview Missionary Baptist Church. We know most of you are online with us and maybe some in the parking lot. I do want to tell you a very Merry Christmas. I know this is a strange time, but it's a time that we can certainly focus on our Savior. And we're going to sing Joy to the World, the Lord is Come.
Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
songs we have heard on high.
Sometimes that mass is just hard to maneuver, but I welcome you here this morning. Thank you for being with us. Thank the praise team, all they do. Let's open our service a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we have to come worship, whether it be online, parking lot, the few that is here, Lord, as we make this service possible today. We pray you bless them, keep them safe, God. Just be with them in the days ahead. And we pray now, Lord, all the ones on our prayer list, all those affected by COVID, God, that you would touch their bodies, heal them, walk with them through this struggle, and all the others. Again, Lord, we just celebrate a Savior being born, that we can have somebody to go to, somebody to pray to, somebody that'll walk with us during troubling times. So, Lord, we praise you that for that today. And we ask you to be with us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us today, whether it be Facebook Live, parking lot, whatever it might be. We pray that you've had a good week, you've had a safe week, and you've just been serving the Lord during this time. And you have been celebrating a Savior. We know it's awkward. Families are sometimes not getting together now on different things, but we can still celebrate a Savior being born. That's what we're going to focus on today in a few moments here in our sermon. But before then, I just want to run over a few announcements for you, kind of keep you up to date. We continue to take up our offering for Lottie Moon. It'll go through the month of December, so just 10 more days to get that in, so be praying about what God would have you to do there. There are 4 poinsettias left if you want to purchase those for $15 in honor and memory of someone. They are here available for you. Remember, the blood drive is coming up on Saturday, January the 30th, and these are so important during this time, a much-needed resource there, so get signed up. Remember our broadcast, every service now at 9:45 and 11, we just rebroadcast this 8:30 service, so join us there in the parking lot for that if you so desire. Online giving's available. Again, here we do it with the buckets. A lot of you are mailing in your checks. Thank you so much for your support during this difficult time. Remember the church app. It'll kind of keep you up to date what's going on. And also, there's the address once again for Linda Dalton if you'd like to send her a card. I know that would be an encouragement to her. And before we go to the prayer list, I want to recognize a few cards this morning. the Cana Adult Home, thanks you so much for all the cards that you sent them. Much needed for their residents there, and it really cheered them up, and we appreciate that. Richard and Brenda Horton, I appreciate so much all your acts of kindness during this time toward them. And also Nancy Hunley sent several cards and a note about the food boxes and different things that you are doing for her. So I just want to give you credit there, because you just continue to do a great job as a church reaching out and ministering to one another. Now, the prayer list today is very long. Now, some of these I may have spoke about last Sunday, but they're either put on last Sunday or during the week or even this morning. So I want to go over those with you. Emily Collins family, Pyle Warshaw family, Moselle Feltz family, Harvey Carrico family, Garland Jennings family, also Michael Parrish with health problems, Johnny and Kelsey Gardner with COVID-19, Roma Justice and pneumonia and COVID on top of that, Eddie Bailey with cancer, Lucilla Trezza, cancer and is on hospice, Garnet Rakes, health problems, Chandra Harmon, COVID-19, Irene Tobler, health problems, Randall Stutz has kidney stones on top of contracting COVID. And then the Bethany Tilly family. She was on here with leukemia, a young lady, and now has succumbed to leukemia. And also this morning, we want to add the Billy Marshall family. So I know Sally would appreciate your acts of kindness now for her in the days ahead. But we have a praise this morning. Yesterday, Kylie and Forrest Johnson had their son, Kyler Jace Johnson. So we celebrate that with them. And I know that Laura and Kendall and all the family there are excited about that. So there are some praises during this time. Now you're in for a real treat. Laura's going to come and share with us a special music this morning.
Traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, breath of heaven. Do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your strong. Help me. Breath of heaven, hold me together. Be forever near me. Breath of heaven, darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven. Breaking, how we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, holy child. Welcome, holy child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. Oh, I wish we would have known. Long awaited, holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Your fingers sent to heal us, tender brow prepared for thorn, tiny heart whose blood will save us, unto us is born, unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you, breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sins and make us holy, perfect Son of God, perfect Son of God. Welcome to
should be a crime for somebody to be that talented, and Gary says she got it all from him. No. Oh, great job. If you have your Bible this morning, wherever you might be, or your phone, whatever you're listening on, just turn to Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. And the text says, "And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Not going to really preach on that text. Just kind of setting the stage that a Savior has been born. And that's what we celebrate this week. A Savior coming into the world to redeem mankind back to Himself, to pay for our sins, to pay a debt that we could not pay. And now is in heaven waiting for us to join Him there. If I had a title for my sermon this morning, it'd be The Voices of the Christmas Story. The Voices of the Christmas Story. And that's kind of what I'm going to look at. Mainly, I'm just going to read a lot of the Christmas story for us this morning. And when we see these individuals, we're going to see a lot of praise, and we're going to see a lot of obedience. And I thought that during these uncertain times, that might be an encouragement for us today. A lot of praise and a lot of obedience. First of all, we'll look at the voices of Zechariah and Elizabeth. These are the parents of John the Baptist. Now, to kind of set the stage, they were up in years. Zechariah was one of the priests, and he was performing his duties there in the temple. And no doubt, from the text, it's implied that he spent a lot of time praying for a son. Him and his wife, they knew time was passing quickly for them. And if they were going to have a son, it's going to have to happen quickly. While he's performing his duties, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Zechariah, your prayers have been answered. This is going to be a special son. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah." And we pick up the text in Luke 1:19. "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." Now, when Zechariah was told that, he didn't believe it. And the angel said, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And when he came out of the temple, he could not speak. Now people realized he had an encounter with God, and him and Elizabeth went home, and sure enough, she conceived and gave birth to John the Baptist. When he was born, Zechariah could still not speak. And Elizabeth said, "His name is John." They said, "Well, there's nobody in this family by that name. Sure, that's not right." And they motioned to Zechariah, and again in Luke 1:62, and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, praised God. Don't miss that. And when Zechariah could speak, here's what he said, Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. When his mouth was open, he praised God. No doubt when he could not speak, he spent some time alone with God praying from his spirit, and God was hearing because God had revealed to him so much. When he realized his son came into the world, he would be the one the prophets had talked about. He would be the forerunner that would set the stage for Messiah. A lot of obedience and a lot of praise. The next voice I'd like to look at is the voice of Mary and the angel Gabriel. In Luke 1:26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from the sixth month that Zachariah and Elizabeth conceived, was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thine womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, when we read these texts, I want to make sure we understand these are people just like us. This is a young girl, hasn't known a man, and all of a sudden angels come to her and said, "You're going to conceive." And the angel answered, said unto her, "The Holy Ghost hath come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is 6 months with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." The angel trying to drive home the point, Zachariah and Elizabeth thought they would never have a child, and they're going to have a child. Anything's possible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. A lot of praise and a lot of obedience. Now, I'm not going to read the beautiful song of Mary that we have there in that text, because there's several voices I want to look at. When the shepherds came to Mary, when the child was conceived, and told her what this meant to them, in Luke 2:19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." A lot of obedience, a lot of praise. No doubt when the shepherd spoke to her, she was still feeling the pains of childbirth, but yet her mind was focused on the Lord. One of the most fascinating voices in the Christmas story is a voice that we have record not saying a word, and that's Joseph. His encounter with the angel of the Lord. Here we see a quiet, obedient man who I would say don't say much. But we have no record of him saying anything. In Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be a child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Ever obedient act here, especially with Joseph involved, it's an answer to prophecy. But I want to go back to verses 18 and 19. What would that sound like today? Now the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise, when his mother Joseph was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. What would that sound like today? When you found out this girl that you was drawn to because she had kept herself clean is now pregnant. I guess I was wrong about her. But I love her, and I don't want to see anything happen to her. I'll just put her away privately. Tells a lot about Joseph's character. But can you imagine what his buddies are saying? Remember, there are people just like us. I've heard everything now. Say she's pregnant with the Holy Ghost. That's a new one. But Joseph was obedient. And when the Spirit spoke to him. Now, again, there are people like us. He's got to be around his friends, his buddies for 9 months. The whispering. Ridicule. Yeah, you go ahead and do what you want to, Joseph. He was obedient. Never says a word. When the angel spoke to him, he believed God more than the chatter around him. Then in Matthew 2:13-15. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And this is after the child is born. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Every time that Joseph was obedient, he didn't say a word, but fulfilled prophecy. I don't want you to miss that. When you go to Matthew 2:19, and when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, where they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. Obedient. He turned aside to the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, and he might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. When I read that, I just got captivated with that. Here's this quiet, humble man being obedient, and his obedience fulfills prophecy that was spoken hundreds of years before. Without his quiet obedience, that would have never happened. There's something else I thought of when I was reading these stories over and over about Joseph's obedience. You know, he was even obedient to pay his taxes. Look at Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This tax was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. We would probably ask for an extension. We'd have filed with the government. I can't go now. But I think it tells us a little bit about this man. He never faltered. He just went and was obedient. I want to look at the voices of the shepherds and the angels. We all love that part of the Christmas story when the little kids play that out. And there's a little set of angels up on some steps. And here comes the little shepherds down, their robes dragging the floor, stumbling and falling. But this is real. This happened one night outside of Bethlehem. In Luke 2:8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Again, just want to set the stage there. That's what shepherds do. They stay up and watch their flock. Just imagine a beautiful night. The stars were everywhere. Just a special night. Something about that night. Then the angels break on the scene in Luke 2:9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign on you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Comes back to the shepherds now in Luke 2:15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into Bethlehem, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which they were told them by the shepherds. And after they met the child, seen the child, listen to the praise in Luke 2:20. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Really, this story is a story of praise and obedience. I pray that's our story during this Christmas season. Let's look at the voices of the wise men. Again, a favorite part of the Christmas story. It's probably several months after Jesus was born. That doesn't matter. It just fits so well into the story when you're telling it. Matthew 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding great joy.
And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to her, they departed in their own country another way. Did you notice the obedience and the praise all in one story? They were seeking the Christ child in verses 1 and 2. And then in verses 5 and 6, once again, they believed the words of the prophets. Notice how much prophecy is being fulfilled simply by the obedience of people. They rejoiced and worshiped and gave gifts in verse 10. Something that we do at this time of year, it's going to feel different. It's going to look different. But yet they were obedient. There had never been a time like this, like we face today. It was kind of the same then, only different. It was an unusual day. It was an unusual time. Something was happening that had never happened before. But all they could do was just praise Him and be obedient. After the child is born, we hear the voices of Simeon and Anna. We look in Luke 2:25, again an older gentleman waiting on the Messiah to come. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Look at the voice of Anna in Luke 2:36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Praise and obedience. Then there were voices after Jesus ascended to heaven. There were voices after he was a grown man and burst upon the scene, ready to announce who he was. John the Baptist did what he was born for. In John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's what he came into the world to declare. And he said it in few words. And that's what we need to hear today. And then in John 1:36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Again, he knew his place. He knew what he was come here to do. And at that instant, he fulfilled his purpose, because he was obedient and praised God. Now, there are some voices after he's crucified on the cross, after he's been victorious over death, hell, and the grave, now that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Simon Peter declared in Acts 2:38, Then Peter saith unto him, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The voice of Paul, who was once Saul, persecutor of the church, consented to the death of Christians. It's a God thing. In Acts 9:20, after he was, his eyes had been opened, after he'd been baptized, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. These are the voices of the Christmas story. And now we must add our voice. It's no time to be silent. A Savior has been born that all men can be saved. It's time for us now to praise Him and be obedient. He's called the church to declare the good news to a lost and dying world. Let the voices of Christmas encourage us to do the same. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning for be someone listening, wherever that might be, that they will add their voice to the Christmas voices. They would add their voice to the Christmas story. God, that during a difficult time, an unusual time, a time like we've never seen before, we'll just be found praising you and being obedient. God, I pray if there is one this morning seeking, hurting, lost, drifting, God, during these uncertain days, they have found what they're looking for in the Savior of the world. Their voice would say something like this morning, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me my sins and save my soul. And pray that in Jesus' name, and we'll know they're here. That's the voice they need to add to the Christmas story. May it be so. God, we ask you to speak to hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are having a time of invitation, even though the building is empty, because we know there are folks out there that may be on the threshold of decision this morning. And we want you to have the feel of church. If you was here in person, there would be a time of invitation for you to come. You can still do that. You let us know. You can call us, reach out to us if you made a decision, and we'll help you get started in that journey. Come now, Kitty and Lisa.
We will be singing Silent Night, Holy Night.
Holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Again, thank everybody today, all the praise team, all that come out every Sunday to make this possible. Again, on behalf of Kitty and myself, I want to thank you for all the cards and gifts. I also know that goes for all the staff. Thank you so much. They've been such an encouragement to us during this time, and God bless you for it. We know that He will. I want to encourage you to stay safe. By now, everybody knows a friend or neighbor that's been affected by the virus. So be an encouragement to them and pray that God will touch them and heal them. And as we go through the holiday season, we want us to celebrate the birth of a Savior. I'm going to encourage you to really be safe during this time. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, but we just got to look after ourselves till then. So just stay safe. Keep serving God, and I know He'll see us through. I'm going to dismiss us in prayer again. If you have any needs, just call, let us know. The staff, church office, we're here to help you. Any updates on the prayer list, any questions about some of those that passed away, if you call, we'll give you what details that we have. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for this day, allowing us to come worship You. And God, as with the Christmas story, there was so much praise, so much obedience. I pray, Lord, You'll find that in us. Again, Lord, bless all those that are here with us today, online or out in the parking lot. God, be with them. Bless them. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.